Yeah. All right, joining me today is Ryan Ellis. Ryan, you're a part-time Xfinity guy, and we'll just start off right here, you know, with the news. I believe you just announced you're going to be running more races next year.
Yep, returning to Alpha Prime next year, which is literally my number one goal heading into this year, was just to make sure I had another shot at it next year. I really, really, really like working with everybody there. I know everybody says that, but it's so true. And I think, like, I can give the parameters. I don't know what everybody else does, but we're doing at least 15. I'm hoping it's closer to, like, 20, 22 races. But I know we got 15 locked up right now. And then just kind of seeing how everything else with his team works out before we figure out where the rest of that stuff's going to go.
Now, you're gonna add any cup or truck races to your schedule? I know Xfinity doesn't go to Wilkesboro, and there's a lot of guys that want to run that.
What's funny is, like, I want to avoid Wilkesboro just because I know how that's going to go. Like, I know that it's going to be such an expensive race for sponsors, and you know, there's going to be a lot of drivers that just want to race there just to say they race there. So I'll probably sit that out for a year or two and let the price come down. Because honestly, it's probably going to be like double what it normally is for sponsors just to get in on that first one. But not Cup probably, unless something really comes up. I just don't. You know, growing up, that's like your number one goal. But I think when you get, like, where I'm at right now, I love the Xfinity series. I don't mind truck. It's just I really like working with Alpha Prime people. So that's like goal one, is to work with them. And then I would not mind doing the Mid-Ohio truck race. So that's for sure.
Mid-Ohio. So you like the road course race. And I think, did you not win a Grand Am race or a championship, Mazda championship, something like that?
Yeah, I won two or three races. I think three. I actually don't know. That's pretty stupid. Daytona and Miami, I know I won, and Grand Am. So it came from a road course background, but I say that as somebody that's like evenly spread across ovals, dirt, and road courses. But Mid-Ohio is just like my number one favorite track in the country, and definitely going to try to put a deal together for that.
So, see, with your road course background and all these road course races and tracks being added, I'm kind of surprised that nobody has really put you in a cup car to go and run with those cars being, you know, a lot of guys say that they're closer to some of those road racing cars and whatnot, the way that they drive around there.
Yeah, and, like, my issue with the Cup Series is nothing to do with anything other than just the disparity between equipment is so large for, like, a sponsor. You know, for like something that we're running at Alpha Prime, it's probably 2 to 4 times the amount of money to go run 30th, like, and that's after attrition, maybe in a cup race. So it's, to me, it doesn't seem worth it. Like, I'd rather that same sponsor go and do Daytona and what, Talladega next year, than throw me in at New Hampshire in a cup race and we finish 30th and we don't get any TV time. So it's just, if the equipment was a little bit closer, which it is this year more than any other year, I would definitely want to do more cup stuff. It's just, it's so hard to find a sponsorship for it. And, I don't get nearly as much fun out of, you know, battling one or two cars as I do fighting the cup teams in Xfinity.
Yeah. So you're going to have all those races. Do you know what 15, you said 15 for sure next year. Do you know what 15 you are going to run?
Or I do. Yeah. No, I, it's pretty much, it's very similar to this year's schedule that I ran. A few races are switched. We're trying to build a better diversity in my schedule because, you know, with me not being like a self-funded guy, or, you know, like my family doesn't write checks, I don't write checks to race. It's not like I get a shopping list of what I want to race and then I just pick the coolest ones, like the road courses and the super speedways, and it's where my sponsors want to race. So it's markets that make sense for them. But I know I'll be making a start in the first 5 races. I know my season's very back heavy. Like, I'm running a lot of the last 10 to 15 races. It seems like I'm almost in the car every week towards the back half of the year. But it's pretty evenly spread out through the first half. But we have some deals that we're just kind of waiting to see if they're going to be at Alpha Prime or if Alpha Prime is going to what they're going to do with that second car, really, before we can finalize what race will be my first race.
Yeah, and like you said right there, it's kind of back heavy, but that's, I feel like that would be a good thing to have all your races kind of together, get into a rhythm, going every week. Nothing's going to change a lot, whereas I feel like sometimes some of these guys that run 10 or 15 races and they spread them out and they have three or four races, a lot can be learned in that time period.
From like a sales perspective, it seems easier for me to sell the front part of the year, and then we have a lot of open time in the back part of the year. I've never had anything locked down in September before. We pretty much had this deal verbally drawn out, I guess, in August, which is crazy. And I was just working on our sponsors to make sure they're all coming back, which they all are, which is awesome. And I would rather have the front part sell just so that we can go and sell the back half, but we're looking at splitting that car that we announced with maybe one other driver. So I think our schedules are going to match up pretty well. There's only going to be four or five races open between the two of us. I think they're announcing that this week, so I gotta remember that. I can't leak that out.
So we got to watch the news for the announcement this week, right? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. And I work with Alpha Prime, like, off the track too, so I got to write the press release.
So let's go backwards here. We got the new deal out of the way. You're going to be racing a lot more next year. Going to be running competitive, right? We're going to see you at the front.
Yeah, I had a goal of two top tens this year and did not meet that. We were a little short, but I think we can get out of our, let's say, 15 races, we can get a couple, two or three top tens. And that's, you know, some of those anomaly tracks. And Stefan just went in there and got an eighth place at Bristol. We had some bad luck the last 20 laps. Otherwise, we would have been close to it. But I think a top 10, a couple top 10s would be really, really sweet next year.
Okay, so tell us about where did you come from? What got you into NASCAR? Like we've talked about, you were a Mazda West champion. You've won some Grand Am races, won a Grand Am Rookie of the Year. What was the path like for you getting to NASCAR?
Yeah, I think everybody's got a unique path. I'm a third generation driver. You know, my last name is not Elliott, LaJoy, Blaney, anything like that. But my grandpa raced in the 1950s with sprint cars and midgets in the Midwest. Was actually killed in a racing accident in 1958, the same year my father was born. My dad raced pretty much his whole entire life. And then I got into it at the age of four. So I was kind of born into racing in a way. You know, I grew up at watching my dad at racetracks and slept with like toy motorcycles and matchbox cars rather than like stuffed animals growing up. So I was kind of messed up from the start. Then I ran through quarter midgets, Legends cars, NASCAR late models. We had a weird deal that happened with, like, it's a long story, but it really financially screwed our family up. And like the plan that we had was looking to go to Hooters, broke up. And essentially, like, we lost everything we had from the racing side. So that was not a fun, like, legal battle, everything. Had to go do spec me out of stuff just because that was all we really had the money for, just to do that on the side. And through that, got invited to that Team Mazda challenge you were asking about and or mentioned, and then got invited to a Volkswagen Jetta TDI Cup reality TV show that was on Speed Channel and Discovery Channel. So I was like on a reality TV show about racing for a while. And then through that, got connected with Volkswagen. I almost said Alpha Prime Racing, a team named APR. APR Motorsports, so different APR, and raced with them. We won our first two races of the season, finished third in the championship. Andy Lally was right there with us. And then just happened to be sitting at Road America racing in the Grand Am race, and Jimmy Means came over and asked if I wanted to start and park a nationwide series car back in the day. And I said, heck yeah, that sounds awesome. So all of a sudden I got randomly pulled into the NASCAR world and still here, whatever that is, 9 years later. So it's been a weird, wild ride.
Yeah, and Xfinity, you know, is getting ready to have a lot of changes that are coming down the pipe. And I'm not sure if anybody really knows what those changes are. I know that they've been talked about and going to go a different direction from the kind of car that they have now. Do you look forward to those changes coming in the next couple of years, or do you like where it's at? You know, we see, you know, family run teams in the Xfinity series run well. You got Sieg out there. Jeremy Clements just won mm-hmm. at Daytona. So there is room for smaller teams the way it is now. So do you look forward to those changes, or do you kind of want it to stay where it's at?
I think I'm just like the worst race fan in the world. So I'm just going to say keep everything the same, because I think that the nation, or I did say the nationwide, the Xfinity platform right now is as good as I've seen it. Teams are very competitive. I think it takes a lot of driver talent to go fast at a lot of these tracks. I don't keep up with the rumors. Like, I don't even know half the people are that I race against sometimes, because I feel like it's just a constant carousel of funded drivers coming in and out of the series, especially like Truck and ARCA. I have no clue half of them are. But I just think the Xfinity product is great right now. It's looks good on TV. It puts on a really good show. It's not too aero based. And I like what they've done with the Cup stuff. I think it's made it a lot better, but I think it's still not as good as what they have in Xfinity. And obviously the safety stuff is just so complicated that that's way above my head, but I don't know. I think the Xfinity cars are perfect the way they are.
Yeah, I think more often than not, the Xfinity races are the best races of the weekend. I think once they went to the composite bodies, once the bodies changed, and they kind of accomplished what the Cup Series wanted to accomplish without, I think, meaning to.
Yeah, that's what they do. Just give them the Xfinity cars too. We can just run both cars, be the same. Give them more horsepower. As much as I want the more horsepower, give them more horsepower so they can go fast and have tire fall off. They're perfect.
Yeah, right now in the Cup cars, it seems like there's really no tire fall off, but you never know when one's going to pop, you know.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. That's why I've been watching a little bit more. It's because you just never know what kind of chaos is going to happen out there. At Bristol, even with us, though, tires didn't matter as nearly as much as you'd like them to. Fortunately, we restarted with like 20 to go on like 100 something lap old tires, and it did not handle nearly as well as I thought it would, but they still didn't fall off that bad.
Yeah, did you keep up with how that thing Noah ended up winning that thing with 100 and some laps on his tires, and everybody else had new tires?
I didn't know if they were at like 40 or 100. It's so, like, it sounds funny, but when you're 14th, 16th, wherever I was, that's a long way up, and at Bristol that's like around a corner, so I can't tell who pitted, who didn't.
Yeah, that's the tires have a ways to go. I think Bristol itself, I don't, what is your opinion on the tracks getting treated with different things, trying to make the bottom better or hurt the top or whatever, you know, because they're doing it at Texas this weekend too, I believe, is treating the racetrack. What is your take on that?
I think there's places it's helped and there's places it's hurt. I know it's probably a polarizing opinion, but we ran really good at these two tracks, so I'm biased at Phoenix and Nashville. I really liked it. Charlotte, we had a compound down, and we ran really well there. So I guess when I'm looking back on it, my best race of the year have all been with some kind of resin or PJ1 down, because 13th at Vegas, 16th at Phoenix, 13th at Charlotte, and then Nashville, we had a resin down. We would have been 11th, but we broke a wheel with like two to go. Specifically, I just don't like it, because I think that it shouldn't take something like that to make racing good, in my opinion. At Phoenix, it's really fun. Don't get me wrong. It's like a grip strip, and you hit it, and it's like a Hot Wheels car that hits one of those like boosters on the track. It's really cool, and I think it makes you get a little innovative with how you pass. But at Bristol, like when we were on the bottom, it felt impossible to pass, and we're still a little aero dependent. So I like running the top there. I don't know what puts on the best show, because sometimes – what drivers want and what fans want are a little bit different. We both want passing, but there's tracks where at Texas, for example, it's so hard to pass. It's just frustrating as all heck. And I don't think the compound makes it any easier, but I also just hate that track. Like I think 90% of the people do.
Yeah. As a fan, don't get it twisted. We don't like Bristol the way it is either, with them having to treat it. Nobody likes Texas. Eddie Gossage might tell you that he loves Texas, but I think that's about the only guy that's going to tell you that.
Yeah, and 2016 was the last time I raced there before this year. And I remember thinking, I liked Texas before. It was a good mile and a half. You could run up against the fence and the old cup cars. Like the last time I drove there was a cup car, and it was a blast. Maybe not the greatest show on earth, but it was still a lot of fun, took talent. Now it's just follow the leader and not a very fun track.
Yeah, and now they've treated Texas with that stuff and they can't get it up. They can't.
What they need is painted around the freaking wall everywhere that you don't run the wall. That's all for that. And just make it chaos so that you have to slide up to the wall and pass that way. Like, that would be fun. And I think that's what Phoenix felt like to me, was it was like a slide job line, and you could really overdrive entry and use it to pass, which made it fun. But they've also applied it. I don't think it works a mile and a half in general. And I say that having liked the way Charlotte raced, it was still hard to pass, but I don't know. The mile and a half are just their own deal.
Yeah, I think NASCAR gets into a trend of what works at some tracks, they try to put it everywhere and it just doesn't. And there are rumors, you said you don't keep up with them, there are rumors that Texas is going to go in and do something, but I haven't heard anything substantial. I don't know if you've heard anything, but
same that you guys have. And that's, it is interesting that you said that too, because I don't know what year it was. I don't want to come off stupid, but like there was that mile and a half trend forever. And now we're kind of going between extremely short tracks like the Coliseum and whatever they're trying to do out in California. And at the same time, we're building Talladega, an hour and a half from Talladega in Atlanta. It's just harder to pass there right now. I wish somebody would just go out and just build something innovative, or we just go to like tracks like North Wilkesboro or Milwaukee, which they are doing both of those this year, obviously, but just do something different. Just because something works doesn't mean we need to do 10 of them. We can just go and do something else different, because that's probably what we like about that.
Yeah, it felt like there when they did Homestead, I think in 03, they went in and messed with Homestead. And then all of a sudden, all the mile and a half got the banking. They went and did it to Vegas. They went and did it everywhere. You know, everywhere got that banking. Kansas has it.
Cookie cutter, yep.
And it's all the same. And so now NASCAR's like, wait a minute, we've got the same tracks every week.
Yep, that's why Chicago and Kentucky got shut down.
And Chicago, I felt like, was the one unique place out of the mile and a half. Like, it was the most racy. I felt like Chicago was a great track.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that they haven't went back to Kentucky, all the money they just dumped into that place to run what, one race on the new pavement.
Yeah. Now instead of using Chicago, we're heading to the street course. So that'll be a little different. I definitely want to do that one just because I think that's going to be a really cool event. I don't know how the racing is going to be, probably a wreck fest, but you know, it'll still be cool to be a part of.
Yeah. I just wish that NASCAR would leave these tracks alone when they're unique. And you guys, you know, I mean, NASCAR has made some great strides. I don't want to bash NASCAR. You know, I'm sure you don't either.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They've made great strides with the schedule, realizing that they had a problem with mile and a half and how many of them there are, and trying to listen to the fans going back to Wilkesboro. I know that there's a lot of talk about, you know, Rockingham. I think Rockingham still a ways off, but I would love it if they went back there. That's a place when I was a kid that we went every year. We had season tickets. We would drive down from Ohio. So that would be awesome if Rockingham could come back. But at the same time, I feel like we need to be going to the Oval and Indy. Not a big fan of the street course. Not a big fan of the dirt race at Bristol.
If you can do a street course, go to like Long Beach. That would be so cool. Or I instead of Portland, I always thought Laguna Seca would be so cool. And Road Atlanta, VIR, like those types of tracks rather than the Charlotte Roval. I know it's not NASCAR owned, so it's a big part of it. But man,
yeah, but NASCAR owns Laguna Seca now, don't they?
I don't know. It used to be Mazda, but like I when I leave the racetrack, I try to get as far away from like the rumors and everything I can.
I'm pretty sure they bought that about the same time they bought Iowa, which Iowa's another one that surprises me. They own and they don't do anything with.
I'm Googling it now. I don't know. I don't know who owns it.
I think it's NASCAR.
Who is Laguna Seca owned by Mazda? That's what it used to be. I don't know. A&D Naraji Consulting manages it. I don't know who actually owns it. Either way, there's so many cool tracks. Like Lime Rock, VIR, Road Atlanta, Mid-Ohio, obviously, Laguna Seca.
Road America, and they're chopped at. That's a great road course.
Well, at least we still go there. And that's a race that I really want to run next year. I don't currently have that on my schedule, but really want to run there.
So how do you think the racing at Road America will change next year with the repave?
I didn't even know they're repaving it. So that's I'm probably not the best person to ask as far as the road course repaves. Obviously, just it'll affect the racing. I liked it worn out because we were sliding around a lot there, and I thought that helped the small teams. I think when you have endless grip, it actually makes it really hard. Like when they repaved turns one and two at Darlington, it went from a track that we could really, really, really run good at to something we really can't make much of a difference on half the track. So, yeah,
but the good thing about Darlington is 18 months, that place will be worn out again.
I hope so. Yeah. I might just go over there and put some laps on it myself, 'cause I loved that place before. I don't know how different it'll be. I think I'll still put on one of the best shows on the schedule. It's so hard. I think it'll be even harder for them to show it on TV if they don't have their entire Cup Series, you know, TV crew with them. For the road course, it's all about just making sure you get everything, 'cause there's so much happening there. Just like Bristol and Martinsville, you just have cameras spread out for 4 miles or whatever it is there, so they don't always catch everything.
Yeah, and one thing that worries me about the repave, and it, whenever I hear the word repave or reconfigure, like tire wear, you know, you hit on it a little bit there. They're going to probably have to bring a rock hard tire that doesn't give up, and I hate that. I feel like that's a big detriment to racing.
Yeah, I'm all about just 1,000 horsepower, no grip. That's what we used to feel like in those Legends cars that we ran. And they had rock hard tires, so they didn't fall off, but we were slipping and sliding everywhere. So they just drove like crap all the time. That would be fine too. I know tire wear makes strategy interesting, but I'm just a race car driver, so I don't care. As long as we have low grip, high horsepower, I feel like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I feel like as a fan, when you watch these races, a lot of the best races that you get to watch or you get to see, there's a reason Darlington is such a great race. There's a reason that some of these places are great races every time, is when the tires give up. I mean, we saw it in the Cup race, and I think even in the Xfinity and the trucks, it was so cold at Martinsville in the spring. You know, the tire didn't really lay rubber. The tires didn't really fall off. And I mean, the Xfinity race was helped, obviously, with the fight afterwards on pit road. And I just felt like those races were probably the worst Martinsville races I've ever seen. But like I said, it was like 35 degrees.
Yeah, I think what did Clint Boyer tweet? Like, if anybody's looking for a tire they could put 10,000 miles on and have it have no tire wear, pick this tire. And they tweeted that like a few years ago. I thought that was one of the funniest tweets I've ever seen. But yeah, I mean, at the short tracks, you definitely want to have something that wears out for sure. Just for mixed strategies, passing. And Bristol, you saw when they had endless grip, it's really hard to pass. It's just like when you go to a local kart track and you're all the same horsepower and you're the same amount of, you know, it's just a tiny little oval, you really can't pass. So you need to have some kind of differentiation out there and variables to, and usually that's grip and tire wear to make it so it's actually a good race.
But overall, like you said, we've talked about already, you know, the Xfinity Series, it's most weeks the best show. You know, I feel like, yeah, if you guys had a little more horsepower and a little less downforce, it would be better.
But yeah, I'm all for that because we have 0 hours of wind tunnel time at Alpha Prime Racing. So anytime we can get less aero dependency or motor dependency, we're not on like the